autism are unclear. And, you know, anybody who's looked at what CDC and NIH's and FDA's behavior during COVID understands that these are industries that are not doing public health. They are doing pharmaceutical profit promotion. Look, go out and look at this movie that is now on Netflix called Dope Sick.
Yeah, we've seen it. We interviewed the creator.
It is how FDA conspired with pharmaceutical makers to addict American children to opiates.
100% true.
And so this is the same FDA and the same companies that are now killing 56,000 kids a year with opioids, more kids every year than were killed in the 20-year Vietnam War. Well, these are companies, these are companies that are immoral and are in many cases criminal. Pfizer paid the highest criminal penalties of any corporation in history. These are serial felons, and they have captured the agency that's supposed to be protecting us from their behavior.
Well, wait a minute. So let me pause you. I agree that the public health agencies have proven over the course of COVID that they're nothing of the kind, that they are in bed with Democrat politicians and with big pharma, and their behavior to this day, it confirms that in many ways. And we'll talk about that. But on the subject of vaccines, if you go back, if they're so bad, right, it's like, then why isn't everyone sick? Why don't we all have birth defects? Why don't we all have autism? And why did you give them to your kids? Stay tuned for Robert's response next. But first, we did reach out to Dr. Paul Offit on Robert's claim that he has Dr. Offit on tape admitting that he shares concerns about ethyl mercury in vaccines. Dr. Offit confirmed that Robert did indeed once record him, but he told us if he said what Robert is alleging on that tape, Robert would have released it publicly by now. We followed up with Robert's team on his offer to play us the tape. They said he recently moved and that it would be difficult to find in time for our air date. Also, regarding aluminum in vaccines, we spoke with one of our trusted doctors, Dr. David Dowdy, an infectious disease epidemiologist at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. He's been on our show before. He says it's important to remember that the amount of aluminum in vaccines is substantially lower than the aluminum we inadvertently eat and drink and put under our arms and deodorant every day. We'll be right back. How many of you have been thinking about a backyard makeover? Do you wish you had room for a pool? You are going to love this idea, and your family and your friends will too. Get yourself a Michael Phelps Swim Spa by Master Spas. A Michael Phelps Swim Spa combines the benefits of a pool with the therapy of a hot tub. It comes in a variety of sizes to complement almost any yard, even if it's a teeny tiny backyard. Michael Phelps Swim Spas by Master Spas have a water current, so you can swim. You can do laps in even a smaller pool. You can do aquatic exercises. You can have fun with the kids. This is going to reinvent family time for you. The water buoyancy will relieve pressure on aching joints. You can enjoy pure relaxation in the massage therapy seats of the swim spa. And since it's heated, you can use it year-round in any climate. Michael Phelps Swim Spas are 100% made in the USA by Master Spas, the world's largest swim spa manufacturer. And you will love your Michael Phelps Swim Spa by Master Spas. And Master Spas has a special offer going on right now. You can get it by going to masterspas.com. Put in the promo code MK to save $1,000 on a Michael Phelps Swim Spa or $500 on a Master Spas hot tub. That's masterspas.com, promo code MK. On the subject of vaccines, if you go back, if they're so bad, right? It's like, then why isn't everyone sick? Why don't we all have birth defects? Why don't we all have autism? And why did you give them to your kids?
Well, because I didn't know, like most American parents, I didn't know. I just believed what my doctor said. I wasn't in this space. I wasn't studying what was happening. If I had to go back, I would not. But here's the thing, Megan, is that, you know, we are to say that kids aren't sick. Explain what happened with autism. What you just said is simply not true, that we're just noticing it more. You mean we missed it before?
That's not from me. That's from the experts.
Right. I know it's not from you. I hear it all the time. But missing autism is like missing a train wreck. You can't do it. Listen, I was raised, I'll tell you a couple of things. One, we have gone the autism race, which, you know, the scientists in the 40s and 50s were as smarter than the scientists today. They knew what they were looking at. The first scientist to ever see autism to identify was Leo Kanner in 1934. And he said, nothing like this has ever been seen before in science and will never be seen again. It was genuinely rare. I was raised in, you know, in the heart, at the spear tip of the movement to provide people with children with intellectual disabilities rights. My aunt Eunice, who was my godmother, started Special Olympics 10 miles from my home. I worked there every weekend when I was a kid as a hugger, a coach from when I was 8 years old. It was called Camp Shriver then. We changed it in 1968 to Special Olympics. I did, because of my family's immersion, that part of our DNA is, you know, is serving the community of people with intellectual disabilities. I spent 200 hours during my high school years at Wasaic Home for the Retarded in upstate New York as a helper. I never saw a case of full-blown autism. You know, people back then, you had a quirky uncle or somebody who didn't have social skills. A full-blown autism, we never saw. We didn't see it in Special Olympics. We prided ourselves on being able to accommodate every child, no matter how debilitating their disability. So even children who are functionally vegetative, we could put them on a platform and have them teach them to push a beanbag off onto the ground, and people would cheer for them and make it a good event. The kids today, kids who are, these kids that we're seeing with autism that are nonverbal, non-toilet trained, screaming, biting, headbanging, violent, toe walking, stemming. We never saw kids like that in the 60s and 70s. We just, and today, to this day, I have never seen somebody my age, 68 years old, who has full-blown autism. Where are they?
It's okay, only- but wait, but let me ask you, because I know you as an environmental lawyer have to this day say there's all sorts of things in the environment that may be poisoning us. You know, you okay. I'm sure you could give us the list, right? To make a link to the vaccines is a bridge too far, say.
Actually, a doctor out there who has made that list, because you have to, what happened is Congress said to EPA, and by the way, there are many, many studies, including the Mind Institute at UC Davis, commissioned by the California legislature, to answer the very question that you just asked. Could this be a, you know, changing diagnostic criteria? Could it be an expanded knowledge of diagnoses? The answer they've said persistently, one after the other, is no. Whoever told you that from the industry isn't, knows that this is true.
I've read your book, and I know you say, why wasn't Dr. Fauci studying things like corn syrup, you know, right, like just other toxins, well, whatever, so about corn syrup, but other toxins in the environment.
Right. Exactly. So here's what Congress said. Congress said to EPA, and EPA is not a public health agency, so it's not part of HHS. All the other ones are NIH, CDC, and FDA, and they're all in the pocket of pharma. But EPA is in the pocket of the oil industry, but they don't care about pharma. They said, if Congress said to EPA, tell us what year the autism epidemic began. And the EPA scientists came back and said, it's a red line, 1989. What happened in 1989? As you pointed out, we passed the Vaccine Act in 1986. We gave immunity from liability to all the companies. There was a gold rush because suddenly the biggest cost of producing pharmaceuticals and marketing pharmaceuticals, which is downstream liabilities, had been eliminated. They also didn't have to do upstream testing. So two of the biggest costs were gone. Plus, they don't have to do advertising and marketing because the product is mandated to 76 million American children. So it's a dream product for them, and they can charge basically anything they want. It was a gold rush, and they added all these new vaccines to the schedule. And people, when they think of vaccines, think of polio and smallpox and the miracles of eliminating those. But these were, you know, many of these diseases were completely unnecessary to vaccinate against. Things like that are not even casually contagious, like hepatitis B that you get from, you know, unprotected sex with, you know, or from sharing needles.
Measles.
No, we do that to a day old baby. And yet rotavirus, hepatitis B, all of these other, you know, so-called diseases that are just on the schedule because the vaccine companies can make money from them.
What about measles?
Well, the MMR vaccine never had mercury in it. But let me just tell you what happened. I'll answer that question too. Okay. Because it's a complex issue, because the measles vaccine definitely eliminates measles, or, you know, or close to eliminates it. Mm-hmm. There are breakthrough cases. So first of all, there's a number of questions you have to ask. Was measles a killer disease? It clearly was at the beginning of the century. In 1963, it was killing only 400 kids a year. Mainly, they were kids who had malnutrition or some other devastating comorbidity. A lot of them were Black children in the Mississippi Delta. This is before we had the poverty programs. And, you know, my father went down there and found severe malnutrition like you'd see in Africa or South Asia. Those were the kids who were dying. It was the death rate was 1 in 500,000, so 2 in a million. Is very, very small for measles. And the measles vaccine, you know, started in 1963. It never had thimerosal in it because it's a live virus vaccine. In 1999, CDC did a study, an internal study, because of what you said a few minutes ago, that many, all of a sudden, beginning in 89, you know, we went ultimately from 3 vaccines that I have a kid, that I took as a kid, to the 72 doses of 16 vaccines that my children had to take. And this began in the 90s. And in the 90s, people started to see this explosion of neurological disorders. And it wasn't just autism. Autism went from 1 in 10,000 or 3 in 10,000, depending on what studies you follow, to 1 in 44. Kids today.
Yep.
But not only autism, all the neurodevelopmental disorders, ADD, ADHD, speech delay, language delay, tics. I never heard of tics when I was a kid. I had 11 brothers, 70 cousins, never knew anybody with tics. Narcolepsy, ASD, and autism. The allergic diseases suddenly appeared. I never knew anybody with a peanut allergy. Why do 5 of my 7 kids have allergies? Eczema. Asthma, which we had, but it's now 1 in every 4 Black children. We never saw.
I get all that, but that doesn't prove causality.
Oh, you talk to anybody who's my age. These are all new diseases. We went. When Tony Fauci came into office, because this answers your previous question, why aren't we seeing sick kid? We are. When Tony Fauci came into office, 6% of American children had chronic disease.
Okay, but that doesn't prove causality with vaccines.
By 2006, 54%. Now, you make the point. There are many other exposures besides vaccines. Our kids today are swimming around in a toxic soup. And I don't just work on vaccines. I was part of the trial team in the Monsanto case. I work on pesticides. I work on neonicotinoids. I work on PFOAs, PFAAs. I was on the trial team that tried the Dark Waters case and Mark Ruffalo's now in that movie. I do EMFs, all of these different exposures that began on the same timeline. So Phil Landrigan, who's probably the most famous toxicologist in this country, Mount Sinai in New York, made a list of 11 potential culprits of toxics that became ubiquitous in 1989, following that timeline, you have to find something that impacted every demographic in this country the same year, which, you know, from Cubans in Biscayne Bay to Inuit in Alaska. There's only a small number of those. And it's very easy, so you can identify them, and he did. And one of them, the potential, is the vaccines. I think all of them, I think these impacts and what the science shows, all these impacts are human.